oil to more than $18 a barrel from today. That's the highest price ever known on world markets. Nigeria has also raised its prices to $14 a barrel. In the Israeli elections, Mrs. Golda Meir's ruling Labour coalition appears to be maintaining a lead, but political correspondents say her party has sustained a 5% loss in popularity. But only a tenth of the votes cast have been counted so far. In his New Year's message, the Soviet Communist Party secretary, Mr. Brezhnev, has been talking about the success of 1973 for Russia. He said industrial targets had been exceeded and international détente had improved. The Marks and Spencer president, Mr. Joseph Seif, is maintaining satisfactory progress, but he's still in the intensive care unit at Middlesex Hospital. The Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine has claimed responsibility for the shooting of Mr. Seif last night. Now the London news. Thousands of people crammed into Trafalgar Square at midnight to see the New Year in the traditional style. Dozens jumped into the fountains and got wet, despite the fact they'd been switched off. Transport problems didn't put a dampener on the occasion, and police estimated the crowd was larger than last year. Ambulance men said 12 people had been taken to hospital just before midnight, but their condition wasn't serious. There was little further news on the future of the Centrepoint block last night, following the annual meeting of Mr. Harry Hyam's company, Oldham Estate in London. Our economics correspondent says shareholders got little joy in their anxiety to find out more about the company's future, particularly in view of the new government budget measures designed to curb property speculation. Even questions about the intriguing investments in Belgium, believed to run into millions, were parried in the usual Hyam style. A former wartime airfield at Wisley, to the southwest of London, is to revert to its former use as agricultural land. This follows the decision of the Earl of Lytton to exercise his right as successor to the former owner to repurchase the airfield. Since the war, Wisley Airfield, which is being sold by the Ministry of Defence, has been used for test purposes by the British Aircraft Corporation, which has a factory at nearby Weybridge. A London firm has just printed 2,000 Union Jack stickers with the slogan "Fly the Flag for Britain" and rushed them to a Torquay garage owner for free distribution to his customers. Michael Olley, chairman of the Olro Group at South Woodford, read in the press about the garage owner's problem finding the stickers. The garage owner, Mr. Colin Edward, wanted to distribute the stickers as a gesture of defiance to those people who knock Britain. Mr. Olley thought it a good idea and pulled out all the stops to have the stickers printed and on their way to Torquay by yesterday afternoon. Clergymen from Methodist and Anglican denominations joined Jewish housewives demonstrating in Bromley yesterday against Soviet persecution of Jews. The housewives are members of the South London Women's Campaign for Soviet Jewry, who held an exhibition of conditions Soviet Jews face after applying for exit visas to Israel. The exhibition was held in the Bromley Methodist Church, where demonstrators gathered a petition of 500 names, which local church clergymen will pass on to the Soviet ambassador in London later in the week. Conservative opposition members have accused Wandsworth Council of shilly-shallying in its attitude towards the government's request for economy in the use of electricity. After the council initially decided to switch off up to a quarter of the streetlights, the government asked all authorities to switch off half of their lights. But Wandsworth Policy and Resources Committee decided not only to ignore this request, but also halt any further reduction in street lighting because of the danger to road safety. Now the council has decided to leave any further decision on street lighting to a special emergency committee, which has been appointed. Firemen last night put out a blaze which destroyed a double-decker bus at Tottenham Bus Depot in North London. Flames swept through the vehicle as bus crews were having a break in the canteen. Most of the men were off duty early for New Year's Eve. Police examined what was left of the burned-out bus on suspicion that the fire was started deliberately. No one was injured. The Camden School for Girls in northwest London has launched an appeal for £200 to pay for the cost of repairing their school assembly hall, which was damaged when the roof collapsed in June. The school's insurance did not cover the roof collapse. The school is putting on concerts and jumble sales to try to raise the money. That's the news. Our next bulletin, international and national news at 3, local news again at 3:30.
And welcome back, 25 minutes to 3 o'clock. Ken Guy in the newsroom there. And doing it very nicely as well, I thought. I just had a little package delivered to me, a little white box, which is my nosh for tonight. And let's have a look inside it.
Autographed?
It's autographed by Dennis, which says, hands off, because Dennis is nosh.
Oh.
An apple, a tomato, a piece of chicken and a roll and an egg and some cheese and some crackers. Oh, I should be all right tonight. I believe there's some soup provided by the soup dragon outside, so we'll have some... Yes, I'll have some soup in a few moments, yes, yeah. Di says, do I want some soup? And she's going off to get it. I think she's gorgeous, Di. She really is. Looks beautiful tonight. What were we talking about?
We were talking about hospital radio.
Oh, that's right,
And what I'm afraid of is that if I join a hospital radio station, I'm going to offend somebody. You've got your long-term patients, and you've got your short-term patients.
Well,
short-term don't care because they know they're going to get out. Long-term, how do you cope?
Well, yeah, funnily enough, both services I'm connected with, Harold Wood Hospital Radio, HWR, and WHRS, which is the Worley Hospital Radio. Now, Worley is a psychiatric hospital about 6 miles away from us in Brentwood, and Harold Wood is a general hospital. Harold Wood at the moment got the lion's share of the broadcasting because that's where we started, and we're coming up to a 10th year now, and I'm presently negotiating with Havering Council. And if Alderman Bill Cole, ex-mayor of Havering, is listening, what about my old classroom, which I'm after getting from you, dear boy? You said you'd ring me today, and I didn't have a call from you. I'm trying to get a hold of an old classroom to turn into a studio complex, which will take a lot of money, and everybody will be playing woodwork. And thank you very much, Di. You just brought me in a beautiful canister of soup, which I'll have later, provided by the soup dragon. And up at Worley, of course, we've just started in there. We've only been up there for about a year broadcasting. That is long term. We've negotiated with the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation of all stations to send us programmes over, and we've had a 13-week series of comedy programmes from them, plus various other programmes. Mm. And we find, in fact, long-term patients, it's a hell of a comeback because it's a small town. Any psychiatric hospital tends to be because it has its own cinema, it has its own sports association, and the nurses listen to us because we're on speakers. And we find we get a heck of a comeback on the programmes we provide.
Yeah, but with psychiatric, they're not ill physically. You can't burst their stitches. You can't make them feel morbid.
No, I think the problem with psychiatric patients is that you've got to bring them back into society again. For instance, one of the funny—well, I say it's funny, but it's tragic, really. We were asked to do a talk on, of all things, plastic utensils for the geriatric side because they'd been in there so long. And remember, plastic's only been with us for what, 20 years. They didn't know what plastics were and what plastic utensils were, so we did a talk on this. On the general hospital side, then yes, it tends to be a fairly fast show. We rotate programmes. We do documentaries, we do drama, we do live outside broadcasts, and we can rotate our dramas and documentaries over a period of 6 months because by that time everybody's gone out. But it really means that we have a large team down there, young ladies and gentlemen, who go out and visit the various wards.
Yeah.
We talk to the patients. We're not flogging them a drink. We're talking to them. What record would they like us to play as a request? And we find, in fact, that our main job is a newspaper of the air. We broadcast local news. We have the local council in from Havering. And we do debates on the air. Because if you're lying in hospital, Steve, the thing I find is that what have you got to do in bed? You can either watch the flies mate in the ceiling or you can try and watch the television to find the ward, which most people don't do. People come in to visit them, their relatives come in, they bring bunches of grapes and they talk about their illness. Oh dear me, isn't that a large lump you've got in your leg, dear? What they don't tell them is what Mrs. Smith is doing at the bottom of the road, because people like local news, particularly in the suburbs. They want to know what the local council are doing, they want to know what the state, what they're going to do about the new bypass, they want to know what the housing situation is. And if there's any big debates in the area, big arguments politically, they want to hear the political arguments. Best show we did, in fact, was on the local rates issue last year. And just to stir things up, we had both sides of the council in, both Labour and Tory, and we had a communist shop steward in Sid Harraway from Ford's, and I think a right-wing fanatic. And it was quite a ding-dong battle debate. And in fact, half the hospital thought it was great, and the other half thought it was absolutely disgusting. And we said, well, you know, did you turn off? And they said, well, no, because we stayed to the bitter end.
Yeah.
And when that happens, you know, I'm very proud.
That's good,
you know,
isn't it?
Yeah. Greatest thing, of course, is to go down on a Sunday night and to have somebody say, you know, when you next walk down, yes, we thought it was great. We didn't agree with what you said on Monday. This is when the request collectors go around.
Mm.
And you get this comeback. Psychiatric hospital, of course, is even better because you find, you tell them what's on in their own internal hospital cinema, you tell them when the shops are open, and you tell them what the sporting results were. You get this great comeback.
Yeah, isn't it nice to be in a position where you can get a comeback there?
Yeah, I think perhaps if anything else, I'm into hospital radio very deeply through its national association, because on two counts. One, I feel that hospital radio is one way in which we who perhaps couldn't push telephone trolleys around the ward can give something to the community.
Mm.
We can provide a service. Secondly, of course, as I said before, there's so many of us who've managed to make it into professionalism. I cut my teeth in radio at hospitals by just learning that, in fact, you're not talking to a wide audience. You're talking to one person.
Yeah.
And, you know, tonight, let's analyse who we're talking to. We may be talking to a security chap who's got a transistor radio in one corner, rolled up copy of the newspaper and a large mug of tea.
Mm.
Hope you're enjoying it. Or somebody may be listening to us with a transistor alongside the bed.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that people don't realise. If you think you're talking to, say, 2 million people, I don't think you or I would be sitting here now. The fact is that we are talking to one person, isn't it?
You could probably get really uptight and get very nervous.
Mm.
I mean, if you had to face 2 million people in the flesh, I mean, I'd go to pub.
I wouldn't do it.
I don't think we could. You
know. No, right.
This is a great benefit of Open Line, because I think Open Line show, when we go Open Line, in fact, in a little while time, I think Open Line is the greatest debating society in London.
Absolutely.
Because for the first time, the people of London have a chance to put forward their views. I mean, mm. I personally, okay, so I'm biased, I may not agree with their views, but they have that perfect right to put their views. If you like, it's Speaker's Corner of the radio.
Mm.
And if you want to know what democracy is, go down to Speaker's Corner on a Sunday afternoon, because there you'll hear all sorts of views. And this is what LBC is all about.
Right. Well, that's a funny thing, because I find that when I'm at home, I'm a pop music fanatic, or whatever you want to call it. It's not really pop music, but whatever. But I won't listen to records at home, and I won't listen to Capital Radio. I will listen to LBC, because I want to hear what people are saying.
Mm.
And that's the best way to learn, through LBC.
Yeah.
That surprised me more than anybody else, I think.
Yeah, I think we found that, even when I'm at home, I was listening last night, in fact.
Yeah.
I was writing a few letters to some of our listeners, and this is when I write my letters, late at night, because the mental clock gets so turned when you can only work at night anyway. And it was compulsive listening. I was with it till 4 o'clock, and I thought, Rickard, you've got to go to bed.
You know,
you've got to be up early tomorrow morning to get some work done.
Right, yeah.
And it really is compulsive listening.
Absolutely.
There's
Which
something
is
about
nice.
What people have to say.
I don't think people realise what LBC is about.
Mm.
I've heard my personal friends, one sitting outside in the control room, who thinks that LBC is a news station, full stop.
Mm.
Okay, basically, LBC is a news station, but there's far more than that. And people don't realise what news is.
Mm.
News is flesh.
Yeah.
And flesh. Pop music. What am I doing here?
What a cue.
What am I doing?
Yeah, we've got one last tape to keep playing. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, I must tell you about this. A band called Flesh, who will probably change their name before too long, but they're a band that have been going for 4 years now, an amateur band that have just signed up with A&M Records. And I want you to hear a tape called Amanda.
Be there on Saturday. York City. I have lived in London too, but I never could find that kind of girl that I paid to be mine. Lonely days surround me. Ooh. I just close my eyes.
Flesh. And
flesh.
For an amateur band, they really are crazy.
Absolutely. I mean, as you know, if you're in the business, you get about 12 albums a week and 25, 30 singles. But that band, for me, I listen to a lot, and I've been see them about 20 times. They're very exciting.
I was talking about, well, so playing about amateur bands, the National Youth Jazz Orchestra, which blasting the airways with last week. I think, you know, these are the session musicians of tomorrow.
Absolutely. They don't realise it. A lot of people don't realise it, but that's what you're going to be buying in 10 years' time.
The stars of tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah, the Johnny Dankwiffs in the making.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Steve, thanks a lot for coming and talking.
Thank you.
Come back again soon.
Happy New Year to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And to you, Dennis.
Fine.
And to Mr. Love.
Ah,
I don't like Mr. Well, I do like Mr. Love, but I don't like him calling you the road thing.
Well, I'm not the road book. No. I'm just your great, lovable Dennis.
Absolutely.
And Di, don't come up and talk back and tell me what you think of me. No. I'm a bundle of fun. I'm just large and cuddly. She's shaking her head. Oh, well, you can't win them all. See, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, sir.
Nice to have you. We're going open line, 353-8111, if you want to talk to us about anything in London this New Year's morning. You know, the lines are open. The greatest debating society, I think, in London, and the greatest station, that's London Broadcasting. 417 metres in the medium wave, if you're down here with your transistor radios, or if you can afford stereo FM or mono FM, 97.3, which is what it's all about. But I've got my friends in here from the Drummond and Lewisham Pipe Band. One last item. Gentlemen, what's it going to be?
Terribus and Baron Rock.
Yeah, well, okay, fair enough. I won't attempt to pronounce it.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll. Gentlemen, you're all pumped up, ready to go. We'll be right back. Gentlemen, that was marvellous. That was James Gardner who led the band. But you actually heard Pipe Major Thomas McBride from Ayr, James Davison from Sunderland, and John Roberts from London. Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming in the studio. May I wish you a very pleasant, a very prosperous new year. And don't forget, you'll leave your number because you're trying to get people to come along to your dance in March. If anybody wants to go along to a charity dance in March, we have the number. Why, how much the ticket's going to cost, by the way? £5. A lot of money, but it's for a good cause. 50% to charity and 50% to buying new uniforms. And it's, where's it going to take place? 23rd of March.
18th
of March, and where is it going to be?
What's the name of the pub? The name of the pub.
Name of the pub.
It's not a pub, it's a...
Streatham.
That's Streatham.
The Cat Whiskers.
Okay, fine. If you're interested in paying £5, give us a call. Gentlemen, thank you very much. And what happened to that bottle of whiskey?
Don't get off.
James, thank you very much for coming in.
Well, it's been a pleasure, you know, if we can come along every year and do the same.
Well, I tell you what, if we're still around next year, and of course we are going to be around next year,
you know,
in LBC.
All these people, you know, you're not listening in.
That's
it's
a date.
You know,
that's it. December 31st through January the 1st, 1975. It's a date.
It is a date. You know, and I wish everybody a happy new year and come to Scotland.
Aye. I'll have to come to Scotland again. I've only been there once.
You'll have to come to the Noon with us next year.
I might even do that with you.
You will. You might even go this year if people support us at Streatham.
Uh-huh.
And on the 18th of March to come along. And if they get in touch with LBC, I'm sure that you'll give them the tickets if they send the money along.
Ah, well, we'll give you the telephone. We'll take your telephone number if anybody's interested. Call us.
LBC has got it.
Exile Scots in London. It's your duty to support the Lewisham, Drummond and Lewisham Pipe Band.
That's it. That's your ancient tartan of Scotland.
And if there's a moose loose about this house.
Well, long may your memory continue.
Aye. Says he bringing out his Scottish
heritage.
Have
a word with the lads before we go. Thomas will say a Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
The lads here.
And
Happy New Year.
James.
Nice job.
Happy
New Year, Olin. And we hope to see you again sometime in the year. Never mind about next year. We hope to see you sometime this year.
Gentlemen, thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot, Dennis, for having us.
And thanks for
footing
here.
Anyway.
Bye-bye.
Great.
Cheers to the lads of the Drummond and Lewisham Pipe Band.
God bless you, Dennis.
Thank you very much. And also Steve Dixon, who called in a little early one. You're tuned to London Broadcasting, 417 metres in the medium wave band and 97.3 VHF. It's 6 minutes to 3 o'clock. And we go open line now, of course, 353-8111. So, good morning to the first caller.
Hello, good morning, Mr. Rickard.
Good morning to you.
I'm the lady who received a telephone call from the people who said that I am the next on the list to be assassinated.
This is in respect to Mr. Lord Self.
Well,
Self.
Their telephone conversation was that regarding what happened tonight, I would be the next on the list.
Hmm.
What I would like to say as a New Year's resolution to this government of ours would be that this type of political assassination could not happen without the help of various Arab diplomats resident in countries in which the act is perpetrated. At least one Arab government, Libya, openly boasts that it not only aids Arab terrorists but also supplies money and arms to the IRA terrorists. And I think that it's about time this government did something about the Arab League office in London, who are the umbrella organisation for all the terrorist groups. And if the government would only realise the amount of bother they put their special branch to, and the wonderful policemen who have been keeping me company for the last 48 hours or however long it is, and the terrible worry to the actual police in this country. And it seems to me that if sensible people put their heads together, there is a way out. That this Arab League should be closed. That the previous head of the Arab League, a man called Mr. Anas, was during the last war the spokesman for the Egyptian government. So they're obviously in league one with the other. And you know, there is a sensible way out of this, and, you know, one wonders where the mediocrity stops and where leaders come forward. You know...
Yes, I wonder perhaps at this stage, you know, I don't want your name at all, because I think that would be totally unfair.
No, the only reason I don't give my name is I have small children.
Yeah, naturally. But could I ask you why you're the second on the list?
Because I...
Because I know Lord Cohen is the third.
Well, so they told me.
Hmm.
Simply because I'm fairly well known as heading an organisation, a Jewish organisation.
Hmm. Hmm. You have special branch protection at the moment.
Yes, I do. But, of course, if one understands this can't last any length of time. They're stretched which away and what away with the IRA and all sorts of other things that go on. You know, but there is an answer.
Oh.
And the answer is there's an Arab League office here. And, you know, pardon me, but I really don't know why. If diplomatic bags have to be in being... for letters, fair enough, but why can't they be searched for, or why can't even these, if you get on an aeroplane, they've got this machinery that can tick over your own luggage to see if there's something in it, why can't diplomatic bags, if they don't want them opened, at least be checked?
I would have thought this was normal practice, but obviously I'm wrong.
Well, it isn't wrong. I mean, it's a known fact that arms come in diplomatic bags. I mean, it's about time that the people of the countries of Europe and the Western world got together and insisted that their governments put aside perhaps economic gain, that, you know, the countries, you know, it's not going to just stop at the Jews if the whole place running wild. It just can't be allowed to happen. And it can be stopped. I mean, I'm sitting here in the hot seat and possibly I'm not making as much sense as I might normally do because obviously we're very worried, but we will go about our normal business, we won't be panicked, and life will go on, and you know, but it could be stopped by the governments of the world. That the terrorism has been going on for 4 years now, since about 69, and if people put their foot down and hadn't given in to blackmail, and I think it's been shown by various countries that once the bluff is called, these people don't want to die.
Do you feel that with the attempted assassination of Lord Seth, I think it's a pronunciation, that all of you who play a leading part, I suppose, in Zionist organisations, or in Jewish organisations in general, now feel, in fact, that your lives are threatened because of your convictions?
I can't speak for everybody else, can I? I mean, I at this moment feel threatened because I had a phone call. Won't stop my belief, won't stop my work, it won't stop any of it.
Yes, when you say you had a phone call, what exactly happened?
Maybe I could phone you in a few days' time if I get special branch permission to discuss it openly with you. But I had a telephone call to say, and they made perfectly sure that they were speaking to me, and they asked my name several times. In fact, they irritated me enormously because I couldn't imagine who it was that wanted to be quite so sure they were speaking only to me. When they realised that they were, in fact, speaking to me, they said, about the business of tonight, you are next on the list, and they proceeded. And then they plunked the phone down. But there was no doubt in my mind. I mean, I've had a few odd hoaxes here and there that one can laugh off. There's no doubt in my mind this is something one couldn't laugh off.
Yeah, it sounds a very difficult problem. Thank you very much for calling us.
I would like to think that perhaps it would spark off some sort of argument on your programme. Maybe somebody will come up with some ideas.
I think it will. In fact, it's coming at 3 o'clock, so I must close the news
bulletin.
Thank
you very much.
But thank you very much for calling, and let's hope, in fact, that you will, in fact, be safe, and that... we won't have a repetition.
Happy New Year to you.
And thank you very much.
Bye.
Let's hope we won't have a repetition of the disgusting episode with Lord Seth. It's news time. It's 3 o'clock.
This is the London Broadcasting Company, LBC, the independent voice of radio news.
It's 3 o'clock, and this is Ken Guy with LBC News. Libya has raised the posted price for crude oil to more than $18 a barrel from today. That's the highest price ever known on world markets. The announcement was made over Tripoli radio only hours after Nigeria said it was raising its prices from $8 to more than $14. And in South America, Bolivia tonight raised its oil export price to $16 a barrel, making its oil the costliest in Latin America. These are the latest in a series of increases announced by producer nations in the past week. The Israeli elections. Mrs. Golda Meir's ruling Labour Party so far appears to be maintaining its lead, but has sustained losses estimated by political experts at about 5%. With less than one-tenth of the ballots counted, Labour looks likely to have some 50 seats in the new parliament, compared with 56 in the old. Labour's chief opposition, the right-wing Likud coalition, showed initial gains and will probably end up with 37 to 38 seats, compared with 32 in the last parliament. The Egyptian war minister, General Ahmed Ismail, and the Finnish commander of the United Nations peacekeeping force meet in Cairo today to discuss violations along the Suez Canal front. The military talks in Geneva on the separation of Egyptian and Israeli forces will also be discussed. Thousands of people packed into Trafalgar Square tonight to greet the new year in traditional style. Dozens jumped into the fountains and managed to get wet, although the fountains had been switched off. Police estimated that at one stage there were 30,000 people in the square. Several arrests were made for trivial offences, and there were over 120 casualties, but they were all minor. The power crisis gave Scotland its gloomiest hogmanay since the end of the war. Christmas decorations in the centre of Glasgow were blacked out, and hundreds of streetlights were extinguished to save power. Despite the gloom, several hundred people gathered in St George Square in the city centre to greet the new year. There was a fairly quiet start to the new year in Northern Ireland, but shortly before midnight, three incidents were reported which indicated that the old year was not being allowed to go out quietly. A shot was fired at a police mobile patrol in the Woodstock Road area of Belfast, but no one was injured. In Newry, an attempt was made to set fire to pews in a Church of Ireland church, and three petrol bombs were thrown into a television rental shop in the Antrim Road in Belfast. They caused extensive damage, but no one was hurt. In his televised New Year message, the Soviet Communist Party chief, Mr. Brezhnev, has been talking about the success of 1973 for Russia. Referring to a crop of setbacks in 1972, he said the beginning of the year hadn't been easy, but industrial production targets had been exceeded. He said international détente had improved, and specifically mentioned agreements with the United States. But he warned that aggressive forces, which he didn't specifically identify, were trying to sabotage détente. He added, "It goes without saying that we'll have to take care to strengthen our country's defences." In Washington, the special Watergate prosecutor, Leon Jaworski, said federal grand juries may hand down what he called a substantial number of major indictments in January and February. In a year-end report, Mr. Jaworski said investigations are continuing in various areas, but evidence has progressed to the point that grand juries will be ready to consider the matter of returning indictments early in the new year. He did not elaborate further, but pointed out that 12 people have already pleaded guilty as a result of investigations his task force has conducted. Efforts to break the deadlock in setting up the Common Markets Regional Fund begin in London on Thursday. Britain's Foreign Secretary, Sir Alec Douglas-Hume, will hold talks with his West German counterpart, Herr Oppel. The two countries are diametrically opposed in their idea on the size of the fund. Britain has called for a kitty of £1,500 million to help develop poorer regions of member countries. West Germany disagrees with this and has failed to reach a compromise in recent talks in Brussels. The president of Marks & Spencer, Mr. Joseph Seif, is maintaining satisfactory progress, but he's still in the intensive care unit of the Middlesex Hospital. Earlier, the hospital had said he'd made better progress than expected. Meanwhile, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine has claimed responsibility for the shooting of Mr. Seif. It's feared the shooting could be the start of a series of attacks on prominent Jews in Britain. The founder of the Tesco store chain, Sir Jack Cohen, said yesterday he'd been warned of the existence of a death list. That's the news. Our next bulletin of local news at 3:30, international and national news again at 4 a.m.
Time for you to ring 353-8111 and talk to Dennis Rickard on Nightline.
And welcome back to Nightline. It's 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock, January the 1st, 1974. We'll all have to start getting used to writing 1974, just as we've got used to writing 1973. It's when you sign checks, you know, and we suddenly realise you've signed it January the 1st, 1973, you're going to have problems. The call just before the news, I said Lord Seif. In fact, it is Mr. Seif. Sorry about that. Because I got it wrong. Naughty me. Anyway, we're open line 3538111. We're talking to London, and London's talking to us, and that's what it's all about. To paraphrase Adrian. Adrian Love, by the way, who is with you Friday, Saturday and Sunday, is at a couple of parties tonight, so if he's listening, give us a call. Also, I believe the LBC news team are down at Angela Stora's pad. So if they're listening to us, I wouldn't think they are for one moment, but give us a call, you know the number to call, and we'll have a word with you. But in a moment, we've got a caller on the line. So good morning to you.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, sorry. I'd like to dedicate a record, if I may, to my mother. I know she was listening in last night, and she will be again this evening.
Mm-hmm.
She hasn't been through well at all over the Christmas holiday, and I know she'd appreciate very much, you know, to hear her name and a record for her over the phone at the Say Radio.
Yes.
I'd also like to take this opportunity to wish a very happy new year and to you and everybody else in the studio.
Well, thank you very much. We don't not dedicate records because, you know, we haven't got records to play.
Well, no, not any special record, you know, but say for a record that you will be playing.
Oh, well, we'll be playing a record next half hour and we'll say that's dedicated to your folks.
Fine, thanks very much.
Okay.
And that's Mrs. Hawkey.
Hmm.
Fine, thank you very much.
Okay, and thank you for calling us. Bye-bye to you. It's 7 minutes past the hour, 3 o'clock at LBC, 470 metres in the medium wave band and 97.3 VHF. Good morning to the next caller. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Happy New Year.
And the same to you.
Right, I'm calling actually from the Queen Mary's Broadcasting Service, Hospital Broadcasting Service.
How about that?
Yes.
One I didn't know about. Why haven't you joined the National Association?
I don't know, actually. We've been thinking about it. I think we'd like to find out a little bit.
Right, well, drop us a line here at LBC. I just happen to be the public relations officer of it.
Okay. So right.
I shall be more than delighted to send you down some literature on the subject.
Certainly. Great.
What are you doing up at this time of night?
Well, actually, because it's New Year's, we're doing a special all-night New Year's program. We, you know, everybody in the hospital's been more or less awake up till midnight, and in case anybody's sort of still feeling festive, we're staying open with special programs. In fact, we're going on right the way through until midnight on January the 2nd. I'm on at the moment, sort of.
Yeah. Is this call being pumped through the network?
Yes, it is.
Oh, well, let me take the opportunity of saying hi and hello to everybody at the Queen Mary's Hospital. And pass on fraternal greetings from London Broadcasting on its 417 metre frequency and 97.3. And also from all the lads at the hospital radio chain in East London. That's, let me see, Harold Wood Radio, Worley Hospital Radio, Radio Barking, Whips Cross Radio and Radio 70 East Ham.
That's quite a list.
That's quite a list, yeah. It's the London Mini Network.
Well, hospital radio obviously does a lot of people a lot of good, and that's more or less sort of why we're here, really.
I think so.
We started off 2.5 years ago in a sort of a makeshift studio, more or less an x-ray room.
Mm-hmm.
And in August, we were given our very own studio.
Great.
Which was opened on the 29th by Jimmy Hill.
How about that?
Mm-hmm. And we've had quite a few celebrity artists here. We had Joan Whitfield here because she was opening our Christmas sale over in the Limb Fitting Center. And only about a fortnight ago, we had Michael Crawford and Simon Williams up.
Sounds great.
It's incredible, actually. Sort of a great time had by all.
It's nice to know a lot of people give up their time.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Certainly. How many hours are you putting out a week from there?
Well, we can't go every night. We're not that big an organisation as yet. We're a group of about 10 so far.
Mm.
And we do a Saturday programme, which includes a football commentary, which is brought to us by the Fulham and Chelsea Hospital Broadcasts Association. And that puts out either the Fulham or Chelsea home matches, whichever Saturday is which.
Mm.
And apart from that, we also have a music program as well, and that goes on until about 6:30. and we relay a chapel service from the hospital chapel on Sunday mornings. And we do evening programs from about 7 o'clock till midnight on Tuesday, Thursday and Friday evenings. And Tuesday and Thursday are big nights because they're request nights.
Oh, I hope you're taking your news from LBC.
We are. Every hour on the half hour, we take the London news bulletins.
You take the half hour in the London news bulletin?
Yes.
Well, that's a jolly good thought.
Yes.
Okay, so we're not only radiating to Radio Clydenelg, we're also radiating to the hospital radio service down at St Mary's.
Yes.
Okay, thanks
except
a lot for calling.
Queen Mary's, actually.
Hey?
Queen Mary's.
Queen Mary's. Fine.
Yes. Oh, by the way, we saw your programme on Open Door.
Jolly good.
Ago. We enjoyed it, and in fact, we had a tape of it, which we broadcast a little bit of it on the air.
Great. How about that?
Yes.
That's what it's all about.
We talked up. We've had a few of our staff here, former patients at the hospital, and of course, you know, anybody listening who's willing to help, you know, only has to contact us here at the hospital. And
come on, give yourself a plug. Why not?
Certainly, why not?
Okay, thanks a lot for calling, and let's hope that your program goes for the night with the greatest of success. And thank you very much for calling us from the Queen Mary's Hospital in London, the Hospital Radio Service, doing such a grand job. And I know what it's like trying to broadcast with two pieces of wire held together in the hand and wondering whether, in fact, the microphone works or whether the record's going to start and have you got enough money to go and buy records next week. It's a lovely thought. It's what radio, I think, is all about. Right the way down to its basics. It's where I came from. I'm very proud of my hospital radio past, and I still do it, of course. And nice to know that my brothers and colleagues in London still do the same thing. Congratulations, lads, and keep it up all the way through the night. Here in London, Gough Square, we're broadcasting to London as a whole on 417 metres in the medium wave band and the marvellous talking wireless and the 97.3 for you friends who have VHF and can afford stereo. And it's 10 past three in the morning, which is a lousy time at the best of times. Anyway, we do have another call, so let's say hello. I mustn't get into hospital radio, otherwise I talk about it all night, and I shouldn't. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, hello there.
Yes. I wish you a happy new year.
Thank you very much.
This is Irene calling.
Okay, Irene.
I've been thinking over Christmas, you know, I think other times, but especially over Christmas.
Glad to hear it.
Because my little grandchildren went away, which they always do, and I was sick, you know, and I was in all by myself. And the thought of the children, you know, being away really made me worse than I was, you know, because children are so lovely. They just don't have any inhibitions, you know. And my little grandson came rushing back when he came and straight away to Nanny, you know. Oh, Nanny, we've missed you so much. Oh, baby, he said, I love you, you know. And instead of me saying, baby, I love you, you know, it was, oh, baby, I love you, you know. And it's so nice to have, they're so pleased to see you, you know, it's really wonderful. And when you think of all this trouble in the world, you know, and wish we had children to rule us, because they really have got a lot of sense, you know. And I often think that they're such beautiful beings, you know. And when hearing about Mr. Seif, unfortunately, poor Mr. Seif, I hope he's listening and I hope he gets better. It seems a terrible thing, just because you try to be good, that you get some fanatic, you know, who's got to put an end to you, you know. But it's like in the old days, sort of you're persecuted, you know, if you're good. Of course, everybody's not always good, you know, but there are people who have got good intentions, although they show it in a funny way. But this three-day week seems to be very bad. I was speaking to somebody about the miners, you know, and they were sitting behind the counter and all day, you know. So they said, wish we had the money that the miners get. So I said, well, would you like to do what the miners do? Go down into the mines? But they said, oh, no. Well, I said, you don't expect to get the money that the miners do. They don't get very much anyway. I'm certain I wouldn't want to do it. And, you know, they had no answer to that.
Yeah, of course, it's interesting to note that the miners aren't on strike. They're just not working overtime.
Actually, I can't blame them for not working overtime. I work 53 and a half hours a week, and I pick up £19. And that's overtime included, because I get about 10 shillings out of my £7. So naturally, the miners are not going to work for nothing. They're giving it all to the government, which is ridiculous. If they couldn't sort of arrange something that overtime is tax-free. Because I've always been saying this for years and years, because I'm 54, I'm not a youngster, you know. And I've worked very hard all my life to bring my children up, worked two jobs, you know. But the point is, I'm not at the, you know, it's nothing really to do with me. I've been very lucky, really, although I'm not rich, I'm very poor. But the point is that I don't have to work underground. And it's all very well to talk, you know. I mean, talk's an easy thing to do when you're not doing it. But it annoys me the way that people come from the government and say, oh, well, it's the miners' fault. It's not the miners' fault at all, because they are working anyway. And they're picking up about £23 a week. I mean, it's disgusting, really, when you think about it, people can't live on it. You know, you can't exist on it. I mean, you must have a bit of pleasure. I neither drink or smoke or anything, but I like it to gamble sometimes, you know, with my own money. But everybody's got to have a little outlet to their feelings. You know, if you don't go mad. But at Christmas and New Year, I mean, people like to have a drink, which is nice, you know. I think people are, you know, sort of so selfish. They only think, I'm all right, you know. And I sometimes wonder what Mr. Heath thinks, causing all this trouble and just sitting down and letting us take it, you know. But I'm sure it's not half so bad for them as it is for us. I mean, when you're looking at the television, you've got to put it off at 10:30. It's like a dictatorship, you know. You've got to do this and got to do that.
Well, it certainly is, Dion, and thank you for coming up and making those very valid points. But can we wish you a merry... not Christmas, a very happy New Year.
Yes, certainly. Thank you very much indeed. Okay. Very nice speaking to you.
Okay, loved it to hear you. Thanks for calling. Okay, it's 17 minutes past 3 o'clock and yes, I'll have a call. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's your turn.
Pardon?
It's your turn on Nightline.
Yeah. I'd like to wish a happy New Year to Mr. and Mrs. O'Driscoll. Tracy O'Driscoll and Eddie, just for Happy New Year.
Okay. Where do they live?
They live at 15 Castle Road.
Where's that, in London?
Yes, North Finchley.
Okay.
Can I tell a quick joke?
Well, yeah, okay. We haven't got a joke machine, but you can tell a quick joke.
Okay. There was three German men, right? And they were very good friends. And one of them was a sailor, and he always wanted to be buried at sea. Mm. And he died.
Mm.
And the three German men, the two German men left, Pat and Mick, buried him. And they got drowned trying to dig his grave. Mm. That's it.
And thank you very much. That jingle was made for us by Ray Gannon, especially for tonight. Well, thank you very much, Ray. That was great. That was a complete surprise to me, because I said we hadn't got a joke machine, and Di suddenly unearthed this cartridge, and there you are. Tell you what, let's hear that one again. I think it was a marvellous jingle. Let's hear it again. I think it's very good indeed. We must use it again. Anyway, thank you very much for calling us. We have yet another caller. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Hello.
Witter.
Is it?
Yeah, not the television star.
Oh, we've all got out. Never mind.
I'd like to wish you a happy new year.
Hmm.
And what I ran up to you about was these spaceships that go up into the moon and all that. Could the money be spent better elsewhere down here, do you think? Because when they depart, they just float about in mid-air. And could anything be done for that, to help the old age pensioners or disabled? Or
it's a very old horny chestnut, isn't it?
For a start, Britain hasn't got a space development program because it's too stupid. I remember Blue Streak being cancelled and Black Knight Project being cancelled. I'm a great believer in the space race, if race it be. Yes, of course our money could be better spent. You know, you can always come back to that old hoary argument. But I think that man... I mean, you could have said, you know, should Christopher Columbus really sail across the Atlantic Ocean? Because, you know, the money could have been spent in the peasantry of England or Spain, whatever. You know, there is... mankind has always got to move outwards. And space is just yet one more barrier. It's rather like the caveman who's discovered what a log can do. He can sit on a log, he can sail on a log. And he's suddenly got to the Isle of Wight. And he's thought, well, you know, there must be other places besides the Isle of Wight I can sail to. That's the situation of space researchers at the moment. And, you know, there is a spin-off from space research. Those handy little things you buy in Boots for 26 quid, which are automatic calculators. That came out of the space research. We'll bring up the old chestnut of the non-stick iron frying pan that the wife uses. And in medicine, there's been many advances. OK, you might justifiably say, of what use is it now? But it will be of tremendous use. I'm a great believer in the space race, and yes, I suppose you could spend the money on other projects. But from the space race come so many spin-off projects. And besides, which is not our money which has been spent, unfortunately, it's the Americans.
Yeah.
I mean, the so-called great nation, which had a great history of exploration, has been left standing in the cold because it's stupid, because it's had a series of governments who are so stupid as not to be, who are incredibly stupid on the fact that they haven't bothered to go into space. I mean, let's think in terms of Black Knight, Blue Streak, and a crummy range down at Roomera, which has been virtually left for, lost.
Yeah.
Significant, isn't it, that the Indians can have a satellite and we can't even get one up ourselves? Unless, of course, we buy a redundant American satellite, but I don't think UK-1 could be justifiably called a British satellite, and I certainly wouldn't call it a satellite. It's not ours, it's the Americans. It's just got a jazzy label on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I watch television coming back from the Apollo missions and the current Skylab missions, one is filled with a sense that this is something which is happening today. This is life. This is man's quest for the unknown. And we haven't got a say in it whatsoever. And we won't drag up the hoary one about the European space development. That's a standing joke. It really is a standing joke.
Yeah.
Still, in about 50 years' time, we'll probably wake up. After all, it took us long enough to get into the air. I think the Wright brothers, Orville and Wilbur, got in 1911, and the first time we decided to get up was about a couple of years, or 3 or 4 years later.
Yes.
We'll get there eventually, when they wake up.
Yes.
Anyway.
I'm just off to bed now.
And what better place to go at this time of night?
Yes, well,
thank you very much. Good night.
Bill's upstairs listening anyway, sir.
Oh, there you are.
Because he's at work.
Who's listening?
My brother's girl.
Yeah.
Well, he's at work.
She's listening.
Yes.
Oh. There's no answer to that one, really. I'll just say hello to your brother's bird.
Amanda.
Hello there, Amanda. What are you doing listening to me at this time of night, you naughty girl?
Well,
by God, Rickard in the bedrooms of London. What a fascinating thought.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for calling. Yes. Bye-bye to you. We have another call. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello, Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, may I get your name right? Is it Work Hard or Hard Work?
It seems like hard work at times. No, it's Rickard. R-O-O-K-A-R-D.
Rickard.
Mm.
Oh, I'm very sorry.
I'm not so worried. Nobody else bothers.
Secondly, for once in my life, I managed to put a voice to a face on the radio. No offence meant, but I just couldn't possibly imagine you as being a skinny chap.
Oh, very true. Very true.
Possibly because you remind me of a very, very ex-boyfriend of mine. Voice-wise, that is.
Oh, yeah.
Originally, I phoned up earlier on because of the Scottish bit. Years ago, I was fostered during the war as a baby by a Scottish family, and I was hoping that, you know, I could get in touch with them because I've lost touch with them since the war.
but I suppose that's too late now, because I think you've gone off Clyde Radio, haven't you?
Well, we can't take a telephone number. If you want to give us your address...
Well, yes, I could do.
Can okay.
I give the family, not family name of the people?
Yes, why not?
The name Valentine,
mm-hmm.
which is a good Scottish name,
mm-hmm.
originally from Perth, Betty and Claude Valentine, and they used to own a tailor shop in Perth High Street, and they had a daughter called Sheila Margaret. And I lost touch with them when I was 7 years old, which was in 19... we'll forget that.
Okay, well, thank you. That's the family Valentine out of Perth. It's such a bad line, we can't talk much longer, but thank you very much for calling. The family Perth, family Valentine, who lived in Perth. And perhaps if we can just have your name, dear.
Yes, my name is Elizabeth.
Elizabeth?
Yes.
Okay, love.
From Hounslow. Actually, I'm a very near neighbour to your colleague.
Ah.
We've... Who hates being called A.D., but if you tell him, I have a friend who knew him years and years ago in both our, in all our youth.
Uh-huh.
And in those days he was called A.D.
Maybe. I must remember that old day.
Baby love.
I must remember
yes.
that. Baby love.
Yeah,
I like it. Thanks a lot for calling us, Elizabeth.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, there's things that come out about Adrian's past. Baby love. Oh, dearie me. I hope he's listening, yes. Oh, dear. Yes, well, Art Garfunkel. That's the artist we're going to spin next. The LP is called Angel Claire, and my arm has been twisted around my back by Di, who says I must play it. Okay, Di, just for Di. On this New Year's morning, we are going.
We are going. Heaven knows where we are going. We'll know we're there. We will get there. Heaven knows how we will get there. We know we will. We know.
sound of Art Garfunkel singing We Are Going from the LP Angel Clear. Back with you right after the 3:30 local news at LBC with more open line calls on 01353811. So join us soon and we'll see you at that stage. We're with you right the way through the morning until 6 o'clock. So perhaps if you're up and about this early morning, you'll stay with us. But right now, the local news.
It's 3:30 and this is Ken Guy with LBC News, and first a look at the headlines. The first few minutes of the new year saw more violence in Northern Ireland. In Belfast, a man was killed after being hit by several shots. In another incident, shots were fired from a rooftop at a man and his wife. The wife was taken to hospital. And in County Antrim, an explosion at a dance hall injured 11 people and caused considerable damage. Libya has raised the posted price for crude oil to more than $18 a barrel from today. That's the highest price ever known on world markets. Nigeria has also raised its prices to $14 a barrel. In the Israeli elections, Mrs. Golda Meir's ruling Labour coalition appears to be maintaining a lead, but political correspondents say her party has sustained a 5% loss in popularity. But only a tenth of the votes cast have been counted so far. In his New Year's message, the Soviet Communist Party Secretary, Mr. Brezhnev, has been talking about the success of 1973 for Russia. He said industrial targets had been exceeded and international détente had improved. The Marks and Spencer president, Mr. Joseph Seif, is maintaining satisfactory progress, but he's still in the intensive care unit at Middlesex Hospital. Now the London news. A Jewish woman who says she was threatened with assassination following the shooting of the president of Marks and Spencer said this morning that she was determined to carry on as normal. Speaking on LBC's Nightline program, the woman who wishes to remain anonymous said that the Jewish community in London wouldn't be panicked by the latest threats from terrorist organizations. She said that the British government should take steps to stop the activities of Arab organizations in London that support terrorism. Yesterday, the woman, who's a leading figure in a British Zionist organization, claimed she received a call from a man who said that she was number two on a death list, which included Mr. Joseph Seif, the head of Marks and Spencer, and Sir John Cohen, the 75-year-old founder of the Tesco supermarket chain. In Belgrade, an appeal has been made against the 4-year prison sentences imposed on two London plane spotters earlier last year. From Belgrade, here's Roy Gutman with the details.
As Yugoslavs celebrate the new year with 2 days of revelry, two young Londoners in a Sarajevo prison cell are putting their hopes in an appeal against their 4-year sentences. Paul Mason of Twickenham and Robert Curtis of Mortlake, both plane spotters, were found guilty by a Sarajevo military court of espionage. They have now launched their appeal. Possibly they did uncover some classified military information, but nothing in their trial 4 weeks ago proved that they were doing this for a foreign organization, it said. Their attorney, who prepared the appeal, said it might take up to 6 weeks before it is heard, and this could be in a closed session. And even if it fails, there is always the hope of a pardon by Yugoslav President Tito. For LBC, this is Roy Gutman of Reuters in Belgrade.
A Labour councillor has resigned as acting agent for the prospective Labour candidate for Hornchurch in Essex because he disagrees with the candidate's views. Councillor Jack Hoppelman resigned because he believes the candidate, Alan Williams, is too moderate and won't, as he put it, make a fighting politician. Michael Stewart asked him to explain the reasons for his resignation.
I disagree with him, I think, on industrial relations, on nationalisation, on NATO. Is strengthening of ties with the United States, you name it, and I think that's just about, you know, and then there might be some minor ones.
What do you expect to achieve by your resignation? It's just a personal resignation?
For me, yeah. But, you know, I think in politics the most important thing is personal integrity, and I would be doing myself an injustice, I think, if I helped get him elected, because I just don't agree with what he's saying. And I think there are other more candidates that I would sooner see elected, and I would go and work as hard as possible for one of those.
There was little further news on the future of the Centrepoint block last night, following the annual meeting of Mr. Harry Hyam's company, Oldham Estate in London. Our economics correspondent says shareholders got little joy in their anxiety to find out more about the company's future, particularly in view of the new government budget measures designed to curb property speculation. Even questions about the intriguing investments in Belgium, believed to run into millions, were parried in the usual Hyam style. A former wartime airfield at Wisley to the southwest of London is to revert to its former use as agricultural land. This follows the decision of the Earl of Lytton to exercise his right as successor to the former owner to repurchase the airfield. Since the war, Wisley Airfield, which is being sold by the Ministry of Defence, has been used for test purposes by the British Aircraft Corporation, which has a factory at nearby Weybridge. A London firm has just printed 2,000 Union Jack stickers with the slogan, "Fly the Flag for Britain," and rushed them to a Torquay garage owner for free distribution to his customers. Michael Ollie, chairman of the Olro Group at South Woodford, read in the press about the garage owner's problem finding stickers. The owner, Mr. Colin Edward, wanted to distribute the stickers as a gesture of defiance to those people who knock Britain. Mr. Ollie thought it a good idea and pulled out all the stops to have the stickers printed and on their way to Torquay by yesterday afternoon. And that's the news. Our next bulletin, international and national news at 4, London news again at 4:30.
Time for you to ring 353-8111 and talk to Dennis Rickard on
Nightline.
And welcome back to Nightline, the programme that makes news. 24 minutes before the hour, 4 o'clock in the morning. I shall now light a cigarette. Thereby it's upsetting Paul, who's just taken over engineering, but he doesn't like the sound of Dennis striking matches in front of the microphone. So because it's New Year's Day, and just for Paul, who loves the sound of this... See? They cut me off, have you? It's what they call anarchy in the control box there. Let's go to an open line call. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is that Dennis?
It is indeed.
Dennis, do you think it's a wonderful world we live in?
Do I think it's a wonderful world we live in?
Yeah.
Yes.
And do you think it's a lovely country we live in?
In what sense? Politically or...
Forget the politics. Forget Mr. Love and his arguments. Black and white. And
well, I fully agree with him.
You know, I absolutely agree with him. I would like to see tomorrow everybody put their overcoats on, you know. When it's cold in the office, go to work. Lift this country off. I would like you to send me 40,000 of those stickers back England. Not just back England. Let's be British. Or whatever. Welsh, Irish, British, you know. And lift this country out of the sticks for the next year.
It's very nice to say that. I too read the Daily Express. But I wouldn't. I too buy the Daily Express, but I
don't buy the Daily Express.
That's why you preserve your sanity. No, I heard the news item as well. I don't think that if I was offered a sticker which said back union or Britain,
no,
or this is my union jack.
Back
I don't think
yourself,
I'd accept it.
Back yourself and your belief, what you really believe and how you feel. And don't be misled or whatever, you know. I mean, my God, it's a rotten world in lots of aspects, you know. We don't worry about the Indians and their oil and the cost of oil in India. We have no... You know, we have no concept here. We have a wonderful life here. And I feel we're digging our graves here because every day gets worse and worse and worse. We all get more depressed and depressed. And I feel we've just got to do something about it. You know, people have just got to look at themselves and lift themselves out of the rut and get on their bicycles and go, you know. We've done it before. We can do it now.
Hmm.
Do it.
But perhaps we have to ask ourselves a deeper question as to why we're doing it.
Well, why are you doing what you're doing? Could you believe in it?
Yes, and because...
I mean, everybody says your station will go skint, you know. But if you... You know...
You don't know how true that statement is. You don't know how true that statement is.
No.
I'd probably work...
But you wouldn't work there if you believed that, honestly, or you would believe it to lift it out of the rut and get it because you believe in it.
Yeah, I mean, it would be true to say, and I hope nobody's listening upstairs in management level, I'd probably work here for half the wages.
I would. I would take 10% cut in my wages tomorrow to lift this country out of the... You know, when I drive through France or do anything, you know, I mean, go on holiday, I feel degraded as an Englishman at times.
Yeah, I would agree. That's a very nice statement to make, were it not for the fact that I see an increasing number of Rolls-Royce and XJ60s zooming around the city, and one wonders that whilst the workers of this country...
There's nothing wrong with having an XJ6 or Rolls-Royce.
No, I don't see people making cuts there. I think that there is a basic inequality of life in this country.
Well, the lady was on the phone earlier, what the threatened of her life because she's Jewish.
Mm.
She's created perhaps more wealth in this country than most people.
Should we blame her? I mean, let's take, I think, is it Lord Cohen?
Yeah, Lord Cohen. Yeah.
But I have tremendous respect for that man, because here's a man who started out with a street barrow and built himself up a gigantic empire.
Yes, so have
I. So I wouldn't blame him for that. I mean, if I was in the same position, I'd probably do exactly the same myself.
What I'm trying to say, you know, I would like to hear your programme say, switch off that bloody light. You know,
well, I certainly wouldn't do that.
Because
of my biased political views, which you must know about by now, I'd make a deliberate policy of switching lights on.
I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about keeping the hospitals going, the industries going, keeping the people at 3 days a week work instead of 2 days a week work, whatever. You know, I'm not talking about Harold or the other chap, you know. I'm talking about ourselves, you know. I believe the average person in this country, if he was truthful to himself, would put on his thick overcoat tomorrow and his Wellington boots and his thick socks and really go out there and dig and lift ourselves out of this rotten old rut we're in. And it wouldn't take very long to do it.
Well, I've always suggested that one way in which you could get this country out of the rut is to say, right, no tax on overtime.
Well, you know...
I mean, you
can go into politics and talk about...
No. I mean, let's put it down to its basic fact. If you work a 5-day week and you work in a factory, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, come in for overtime on Saturday morning between, 8 and 12.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done this myself. And when I was doing it, it used to be about £5 for that.
Yeah.
I knew full damn well that £3 was going to pay for a Polaris submarine. And I wasn't interested. Because I'd end up by earning less than I did normally. So where's the interest in working a Saturday morning for, 2/3 of your normal wage?
Yeah.
I mean, it boils down basically to money.
But there's also £20 million worth of people don't pay income tax here because they screwed out the country or do whatever you can go into all those sort of arguments. And you see, the depressing fact about it, we get into those arguments because we can all find something wrong with it. Look at your wife.
I'm not married. No, I know what you're going
to
say.
Well, look at your friend next to you. You can find a fault with him. His hair may be too long to you. You know, or too short. It may not suit you. You can pick holes in him. You can pick holes in everything you're looking in life.
Yes, but surely...
If you look for it.
Yeah, but surely, isn't that the basic point? If you accept life as it is... My own feeling is that, okay, we live in perhaps the greatest democracy in the world...
Exactly.
I'm not saying I'm living under a government which I particularly support, but nevertheless, this is what's been elected by the majority of the people, so one accepts that. This is the art of democracy. But to be complacent about it is totally the wrong attitude. We must never be complacent about our
democracy.
There's
an awful amount of wrongs that have been going on for millions of years.
But I think it is the duty of the people to look for those wrongs and to iron them out.
Yeah, but, you know, knocking, always knocking the next bloke,
difference. Yeah, there's a difference between constructive criticism and vindictive criticism, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly. But you see, what I believe is that the average person today, and I, you know, I've been with an Irishman tonight, you know, having a drink and a few different people, different colours, different creeds. And to look at them, they're all fine people, nice people. And what I can't basically understand is with Harold or Ted Heath, whatever, that they don't get together, the people in this country, and go to work tomorrow. You know, people today, I know a lot of people in the industry are trying to employ their people for 3 days a week and basically can't afford to employ them 3 days a week because they haven't got the raw materials and things like that. They're trying to help the people.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a point, and, you know, thank you very much for coming up and making it. I'm sure it's one that's going to cause much discussion later on in the programme. 4:15, if you've just tuned our way. You've just come back from a party, and you're like Adrian Love. I thought Adrian was going to come back. It must be a very good party, is that? I don't know if the LBC party down at Angela Stora's pad's going strong, but if it is, give us a call. You know the number. 3538111, that's the number. And it's 417 metres medium wave you're listening to. That's 97.3 VHF. And another call.
Hello?
Good morning.
Hello, Dennis.
Yeah, hello.
Slow wish you happy new year.
Ah, cheers.
Hope you're enjoying yourself.
Well, yeah, I've just had one of my plastic airline meals. I was munching away quite happily there.
Well, I haven't got much to say. I'd just like to tell you a couple of jokes if I could.
Okay, we've got the carts all wound up.
Have you got the red light ready?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, there was an Irishman and a Scotchman walking down the road. Okay? And the Scotchman's found a wage packet. And the Irishman said to him, "Oh, you're a lucky fellow, Jock." He said, "What do you mean, lucky?" He said, "Look at the text they stopped me."
Thank you. Just like that, just like that, just like that.
What was the other one? What was the other one? He's gorned. There was dull tone on the line. Ah, there you go. What happened to the GPO this morning? Good morning to our next caller, sir. Or madam.
Hello, Dennis.
Ah, sir. Yes.
Good morning. Bill here, South London.
Okay, Bill in South London.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you very much.
I heard you about 1 o'clock. I was at a glorious party. And yeah. I thought, what a hell of a way to start the new year.
Well, there you go.
Anyway, that's life. What I was going to ask you about, what's your views actually on this business? You know, while I'm not all that moved by listening to television at 10:30 of the night, I just want to know why is it the television is cut off at 10:30 of the night instead of cutting out 2 hours during the day when all the factories are running and one would think it would be a better time to cut off electricity. You know?
Speaking as one who watched a film this afternoon.
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, there's a great many of us who work shifts who tend to watch television in the afternoon. A lot of rubbish on, I grant you, but it's... I see your point. I don't see why, in fact, television had to close down, because it's probably a naughty way of making you people go to bed early.
Well, is it that, or is it just one way of rubbing it in and trying to say, well, you know, this is a political thing?
Oh, undoubtedly, you know? Undoubtedly. I mean, it's rubbing it in politically when we say we go across to a three-day week.
Yeah.
You know, the government have quite clearly said that that when the naughty miners go back to working overtime again...
You suffer.
Well, when they go back to working naughty overtime again, we'll give you your television back and you can go to work a full day's week, which I think is the old question of divide and rule.
Yeah, I quite agree, you know. Anyway, Dennis, just one other point. In the peak hour of... you must have peak hours callers.
Funnily enough, no, because once we say open line, all the lines are jammed up. Now, I mean, that last statement of mine is bound to bring up six Conservatives on the line immediately.
Yeah, but what I mean is that there must be a period in the night when, you know, probably, like, I often try to ring up. I tried to ring up Adrian last week, you know, several times, but the line was jammed up to about half past three, you know.
It's like that all the night through, funnily enough.
Is it really?
Mm,
I'm surprised. I would have thought that it might have eased up.
Well, when we started to plan the programmes on LBC back in September before we came on the air, we sort of said to ourselves, you know, what's going to happen between, what, 3 o'clock and four, maybe half past five? There'll be no calls, we all said. We'll think in terms of doing rebroadcasts of material which we've had lurking around all day, and we'll think about putting comedy records in. But the first night staggered us because the lines were jammed, and we thought, oh, well, it's just a first flush of enthusiasm. It hasn't stopped since.
Oh.
And, you know, 2 months later, we're still under the first flush of enthusiasm. No, the lines are completely jammed. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I'm a bit surprised at that. There's only one suggestion. I don't know whether it is practical or not. But could you put a limit on the amount of time that a caller has? I think, you know,
Well, we've thought about this. It may be worth trying out. But, you know, some people have a lot of interesting things to say, and other people perhaps, you know, in the best of all possible worlds, people are brief and make their point very quickly, and a lot of other people don't because they're unused to speaking before a public audience.
Yeah, and, you know, the way I look at it is that, you know, not the last call you had, but the one before that, a gentleman who wanted me to take a cut, a 10% cut, and put clog boots on, et cetera, et cetera. You know, he said the same thing a long, long time, and it lasted a long time, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know how you sell it, personally.
But,
you know, I would have just said, well, sorry, mate, you know, this is my view and that's it, and put the phone down, you know. I mean,
yeah, but
that's my opinion, because...
On the other hand, you see, had I done that, you see, you can guarantee 30 people to pick up the telephone and say you didn't give them a fair hearing. You know, whatever you do, there's always somebody that say, you're completely wrong.
Anyway, you're doing a great job, Dennis, so God bless.
Okay, sweet.
All the best to you.
Okay, many thanks for calling us.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye to you. 10 minutes to 4 o'clock at LBC in the morning. January the 1st, 1974. I think 1973 is going to go down in history. It will for me, anyway. Let's have another call. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello there.
Well, let's hope that 74 would be better than 73 was.
Be much worse.
You're not kidding. I really like to talk about the situation in hospitals as regards shortage of staff.
Mm.
I'm distantly associated with St. Anne's Hospital at South Tottenham, and they got a heck of a problem up there with the shortage of staff. A couple of people I know, the man in charge of the hospital there, this guy has really worked himself almost into the ground, and he's now sick, and his number three has had to step up to number two, and he's now having to go in on his days off, and tomorrow he should be off duty altogether, but he's got to go in twice on a split duty. And there really is a terrific shortage of staff up there. And the hospital itself is only allowed to employ a certain amount of agency nurses. And it's really making things almost impossible to run this hospital. And they just won't stop admitting patients. I mean, after all, you get a lot of sick people and you cannot turn them away. I mean, it's a very human thing. But nevertheless, the hospital is so seriously understaffed. And, of course, this isn't only this hospital, it's all other hospitals in the London area. And the agencies are paying these nurses who work sort of part-time much higher than the hospitals can pay them. And consequently, nurses are going away from the National Health Service and going into these agencies. And
who pays the agencies, the hospital?
No, the agencies are a privately run organisation. And they can... I don't know, demanding higher fees from the National Health Service, they can get these nurses. And this is a very serious sort of spiralling situation that they're in at this time. And what I would like to do, I'm not associated with the hospital, but if there are nurses in the North London area who could contact the Tottenham Group of Hospitals, or St. Anne's Hospital, in St. Anne's Road, Tottenham, and sort of come in and somehow or another help out with this very critical situation. And they're going to have to close down departments before long.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for calling us. I'm certain if any nurses down there are interested, they'll get in contact with the hospital. but thank you for calling.
I sure hope they will.
So do
thanks
I.
Thanks a lot, and a very happy New Year to all you.
And the same to you. Incidentally, can I say hello to all our friends from Bush House, who've crept down here this evening. I believe there's a couple of them next door. Yes, he's saluting, yes. Yes, he's crept down to see how radio's actually done, you know. There's no answer to that one, is there, lads? Yes, we won't say what, tell you what Bush House is all about. Yes, we will. Bush House, that's the headquarters of the BBC's overseas external services, you see. So if you happen to live in the middle of Afghanistan and you hear somebody saying, this is London, that's where it all comes from. Because before LBC, a lot of Londoners used to listen to it at night, didn't they? Now they've discovered something different. We're better. We're LBC. What we're going to do now, we're going to pause for music. Yes, we are. Roberta Flack, and as a hit single of last year. This one's just for Paul, Killing Me Softly.
Drumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly with his song. Thank you.
sound of Roberta Flack and a biggie of last year, in fact, Killing Me Softly. We had one of the bagpipers on. He's had a lot of telephone calls. This is the newsroom message. They said he sounded diabolical. And his excuse is, well, when you come into an LBC studio, what do you expect? No, actually, the reason is that when they come into a small studio like this, you see, and they're clustered around the microphone, sound balance isn't all it should be, you see, and they really blast their microphones. And it's not their fault, folks. It's the fact that we've never had a set of bagpipes in our studio before, and I don't think any other radio studio has. And, well, it's not their fault. No, certainly not the fault of the Lewisham band. Certainly not. Incidentally, I said we had a couple of engineers floating in. I didn't realise we have a whole bunch of them. Must be 20 of them outside from Bush House. I don't know if Bush House is still on the air tonight. If you're wondering why the external services of the BBC are not operating tonight, the reason is they're all down here. They're all looking at our marvellous McCurdy desks. We don't use knobs to turn our faders up and down. We've got long sliding things. Marvellous. It's called modern living. Never mind. We're coming up now to news time at 4 o'clock with Ken Guy. Don't forget that more open line calls right after the news on 01353 8111. So if you want to talk to London, take the opportunity and talk to us. It's 4 o'clock, and in the newsroom is Ken Guy.